2504-22-1300. Treatment to be sure I am only looking for good in everyone and every event in all existence. This is a prayer treatment on the topic of mind. The primary purpose is an hourly reminder to only focus on good for everyone, every event, every relationship. Three introductory quotes for science and health are as follows. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus. Number two, there is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. Shakespeare. Three, oh, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. This is thy high behest, thou here and everywhere. Mary Baker G. Eddy. No matter what the topic is of one's study, the first quote applies directly. We need to be searching for the truth, understanding it, and realize that the reward is being set free from anything opposed to truth. No longer enslaved in any belief of material life, truth, and intelligence in matter, but understanding that we are not confined to anything that is not 100% godlike. Genesis indicates that we are made in God's image and likeness if we open our consciousness to that fact and reflect it in every thought, speech, and action. Shakespeare tells us how to replace anything in our consciousness that is not perfect with perfection. We have to be contemplating perfection and feed that into our consciousness. And we have to deny that anything less than that has any power. And Mary Baker Eddy, in the third quote, tells us that we will be blessed if we follow the path of Christ Jesus. Because the laws of God are everything in all existence. It covers mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. And Jesus followed the path of God, and he showed us in a practical way through the way he conducted his so-called human life. And we need to follow in his footsteps. He did not accept any evil. He refuted it. He said, "Get behind me, Satan." He overthrew the tables of the money changers. He denied that sin, sickness, disease, or death had any reality. And he proved it by healing the situation, making the evil disappear and be replaced with the obvious vision of spirit, wholeness, completeness, perfection. Those are the blessings that we receive when we follow the laws of God. I believe that's what Mary Baker Eddy refers to in her quote, that she is blessed, and that is God's pleasure. But what that really is that that is the way the laws are of the universe. Habakkuk tells us that God is of purer eyes than to behold evil. So God cannot behold anything that is less than his own perfection. No lower quality is real. And he's omnipresent. We must recognize that omnipresence. So no matter what the situation appears to be, we must translate it just like Jesus did, where he did not accept anything in any form of any appearance whatsoever that was less than godlike as being real. He flipped it and focused on the spiritual real man, the spiritual real event. When he was teaching on the hillside, I would consider that an event. He converted the fact that he had no food, but the people had been sitting there all day and they were tired and hungry. So he converted, in one instance, it says there were only 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. Or 2 loaves of bread and, and 5 fish. Whatever it was, he converted it to enough to feed 20 or 30,000 people. Because in one instance, there were 4,000 plus women and children. And in another instance, there were 5,000 plus women and children. So I presume there were probably at least 2 or 3 children plus the wife. So that would increase the 4 and 5,000 quote to 4 to 5 times that many. So all in all, he took whatever minuscule amount of food they had and in the two combined fed probably 40 or 50,000 people. He didn't need to rely on a big storage facility to supply the food that was needed. It was supplied from his concept that God is complete and he takes care of every one of his ideas. God is all. He's omnipresent. Right where we are at any moment, providing us the laws that if we bring ourselves into alignment with it in thought, in our consciousness, then we will have the benefit. Mary Baker Eddy, being the discoverer, founder, and leader of Christian Science, defines what man is in the glossary in just a few words. On page 591, the compound idea of infinite spirit, the spiritual image and likeness of God, the full representation of mind. She defines matter on that same page as follows. Mythology, mortality, another name for mortal mind, illusion, intelligence, substance, and life in non-intelligence and mortality, life resulting in death, and death in life. Sensation in the sensationless, mind originating in matter, the opposite of truth, the opposite of spirit, the opposite of God, that of which immortal mind takes no cognizance. that which mortal mind sees, feels, hears, tastes, and smells only in belief. That's the definition of matter. Wow. We don't want to touch that with a 10-foot pole. It says it feels, hears, tastes, and smells only in belief. And sees. Sees, feels, hears, tastes, and smells only in belief. And it does it through mortal mind. Mary Baker Eddy explains that mortal mind is an oxymoron because the one and only real mind is immortal. So mortal mind is saying black-white. There is no such thing as black-white. It's either black or it's white or a mixture, which is then called gray. But black-white is not a label for any color. Truth and error is not the label for anything that is real. Evil and good doesn't happen. It's one or the other. If good has one little drop of evil in it, it's evil. She describes spirit as substance. And she states that it is flawless, pure, transparent, and reflective. So the substance of you and me, the substance of everything in all existence, is of spirit. If it's not of spirit, it's unreal. It's a facade. It's a fake. We must recognize these qualities in every individual where it says the compound idea of infinite spirit. Flawless. Flawless. Infinite spirit. The spiritual image and likeness of God. The full representation of mind. Mind is defined as omni-intelligence, omni-wisdom, and omni-knowing. On page 587, she defines good as being God, spirit, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresent, and omniaction. And omniscience is defined as omni-intelligence, omni-wisdom, and omni-knowing. Omni is defined as one only in all. Her definition of God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. And on page 587, that was page 465 from recapitulation, and on page 587 in the glossary, she defines God as being the great I am, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving and eternal, principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, love. She puts the emphasis on a few of the qualities of God, and she arranges the seven synonymous terms in a little bit different order. And I believe the reason she shows principle as the first of the seven is because that is the structure. Principle is the structure, which includes a system. The system of divine metaphysics. And then the next one she mentioned is mind, principle mind, soul, and soul is spiritual sense. Our facility of sight, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling. Those are all senses, and in the system of divine metaphysics, which is Christian Science, since the only substance is spirit, those senses are spiritual senses. If we're looking with a so-called set of material organs, are seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling based on a material sense of organs, then we're barking up the wrong tree. And we're going to see and be tricked by a wrong view, a mortal view, instead of a spiritual view. Our substance is spirit. We cannot look at something through any lens other than the lens of spirit. If we do, we're going to see all kinds of flaws. That's not what Jesus did. Jesus would see a blind man or a leper or someone even dead. He would not say, oh, it's too bad that person's dead, or, geez, I'm sorry you're sick. Nope, not Jesus. Jesus saw the perfect man. He had a model in thought all the time of the perfect man. Because whenever he saw something that was not perfect to material belief, to the vision that we are utilizing most of the time, but that's a false sense of vision. Because that shows us a lot of fallacies, a lot of problems. Shows us storms, earthquakes, wind, fire, sin, sickness, death, disease, discord, in every face you can think of. Evil dominating over good. That can't be the truth. God is omnipresent. Habakkuk tells us that there is no evil that God can see. He says God is of purer eyes than to behold evil. So how can we do it? We can do it because we are looking through a false lens. We're looking through the lens of matter. Remember the very first word in matter is mythology. The second one is mortality. Another name for mortal mind. Illusion. Illusion. We could also add delusion. Intelligent substance and life in non-intelligence and mortality. Life resulting in death. And death in life. Sensation in the sensationless. Mind originating in matter. The opposite of truth. Is that what we want to focus on? The opposite of truth? We must, at the onset of any appearance of something unlike God, we must absolutely deny that it can possibly be real. And we must flip it. And we then declare what is real. Like Shakespeare says, nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. What kind of thinking are we going to exercise? What kind of thinking are we going to input into our thought? Into our consciousness. Think about any of these good things that we've discussed here. Any of the qualities of God, definition of God, definition of good, scientific statement of being, and make sure that it is mentioned that these things that you quote apply to everyone equally, individually, and universally. That's what praying for all humanity is all about. Mary Baker Eddy did that 3 times a day, and she prayed for her own thought to make sure that she was only seeing good in everyone and everything hourly. I will close this short treatment with a diapason of heaven with a focus on mind. Mrs. Eddy writes, "The real Christian Scientist is constantly expressing harmony in word and deed, mentally and orally, perpetually repeating this diapason of heaven. God is my God, and my God is good. Love is my God, and my God is love." That's a quote from Miscellaneous Writings, page 206. "We can declare often, divine mind is my mind, and my mind is God. God is my mind, and my mind is good. I have an intelligent mind, a good mind, a wise mind, perceptive, discerning mind, a clear mind, a joyous, happy mind. Mind is God, all acting, all wise, all loving, all knowing, all seeing. Divine mind is enthroned in my consciousness. Mortal mind and material, matter-based and personal sense are not enthroned. Ignorance and apathy and materiality are not enthroned in my consciousness. Good is my mind, and my mind is good. Mind is my God, and my mind is good. Divine mind is enthroned. This is the word of God." We have to change the subjective thinking we have of these seven names from personal sense to spiritual sense, and see ourselves and others as spiritual individualities, not personalities. This way is the only way. It is the way the Bible characters walked with God and ascended. Amen.